Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is a Friday. It is a feast of St. Nicholas. That's right, St. Nicholas, whose tomb is in Bari. Bari is a beautiful coastal city along the Adriatic in the region of Puglia, the heel of Italy. And we were just there with our pilgrims back in October, actually early November. It was very beautiful and had such a great time. And it was very, very wonderful to be able to visit the tomb and pray before the relics of this great saint, St. Nicholas, pray for us. And Bari is a lovely town and very clean, big city, but very clean. It's right on the, as I said, right on the Adriatic, literally. I mean, and it's just an amazing place to visit. There's so much history there. And just a little fun side note, since it is a feast day of St. Nicholas and he's buried in Bari, there is a whole street dedicated to a particular type of pasta. I kid you not, it's called Orchetti Street. It's where the ladies of Bari make the famous pasta, and that actually means a little ear. It looks like a little ear, and it's a famous pasta from that region. We actually went down that street, watched them make it, and then we had a pasta cooking class at our La Dolce Fide pilgrimage that night. It was really, really fun. So I know it's a little kind of off the beaten track there, but Bari is a very nice place to visit. And I always tell people, if you're going down to Puglia, most Catholics will, of course, go to beautiful the Gargano area for St. Michael's Cave, which is amazing, and, of course, the town of Padre Pio, San Giovanni Rotondo, which is very important. But then they turn around and go back to Rome, and they're missing so much. Puglia is incredible. There's so much to see there. Lecce, the Florence of the South, and, of course, gosh, Otranto, the Church of the Martyrs, and Ostuni, the White City, and you're right on the border of Basilicata. And you must do what we did, take our pilgrims to. We took our pilgrims to Matera, which is one of the oldest civilizations in the world and has a very, very important story about the poor in Italy that's associated with it. So just a little bit of a thing. I can't help it. I love Italy so much, and there's so much history there. By the way, I'm so grateful to EWTN for publishing my book all about Italy. It's called Italy's Shrines and Wonders, and it's coming out in January. It is available for pre-order. All the information is on my website. It'll soon be posted also on the EWTN religious catalog. So there you go. A little bit of insider information regarding Bari in Puglia, the heel of Italy, a beautiful place to visit. Alrighty then, we're going to be visiting some very important topics today, starting with our very own Doug Keck at 15 minutes past the hour. Doug, of course, will be filling us in, and oh my goodness, never a dull moment. So many great activities and interesting things that we're covering for you and that we will be airing in the next week or so. Obviously, being an Advent, there's so much to talk about and discuss, and we don't want you to miss a thing, so Doug is going to review that for us. So that comes up right after the news. At the bottom of the hour, our Fact Check Friday. So Wednesday, the Supreme Court heard the case regarding that ban in Tennessee in transgender surgeries for minors. And, of course, both sides showed up. There was a lot of activity. Catholic News Agency has a full report on it this morning. We'll have a story on it in the news. And then I want to play you an interview that was done by a reporter for the outlet Newsbusters, which is part of the Media Research Center. And they're asking the questions that the media, the legacy media, do not ask and will not ask about the craziness of this whole idea of transgenderism, this agenda that's being shoved in our faces, and very, very dangerous agenda that's ruining lives. We also have a clip in the news, and we'll share it again with you, Fact Check Friday, of Chloe Cole. She is that amazing young woman who has testified before Congress. She went through the whole process, started to go through the whole process, and realized it was making a bad situation in her life even worse, and now she's one of the many detransitioners who realize that trying to quote-unquote change their sex, which isn't possible, is not the answer. And so she spoke out at that event, and we'll have a clip from her. And again, the legacy media don't want to hear from her. It's just like with the abortion issue. This is very, very similar to abortion in the sense that the women and men greatly impacted by abortion, of course, all of us are impacted by every single abortion, but those women who have these stories that are heartbreaking and how they were pressured into an abortion, how it didn't solve their problems, the media don't allow them a voice, not the legacy media. And at the March for Life, forget about it. They don't cover the Supreme Court and the Women of Silent No More. They don't cover the March for Life period. But anyway, you get my drift. So we'll discuss at the bottom of the hour, then wrapping up with a beautiful resource for you to learn more about the Jesse Tree. Our friends from the Augustine Institute will be helping us wrap up a Friday morning. Let's take a quick look at the national weather. Lake effect snow continuing into the weekend as two more quick moving systems will be bringing widespread snow to the upper Great Lakes. High winds expected across portions of Montana through the weekend, and below normal temps remaining in place across much of the southern and eastern part of the country, while the western U.S. will experience above normal temperatures. It is a Friday morning. We're so blessed to have you joining us here on EWTN. Let's get started with the news, and this news and this program brought to you by, if you're looking for beautiful products or a Christmas gift, our friends at House of Joppa, houseofjoppa.com. Ross Cullen tells us Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris finally opening to the public this weekend, more than 5 years after that devastating fire.
The fire in April 2019 shocked people around the world, and there were fears the whole 860-year-old building could collapse. The fire brigade saved the core structure, but then it took architects, engineers, carpenters, roofers and glaziers 5.5 years to restore Notre Dame.
However, work on the medieval cathedral's exterior continues, and people around the globe watched back in 2019 as that blaze moved so quickly through Notre Dame. It stoked fears that the entire 860-year-old building would collapse. As we mentioned, demonstrators rallying on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. earlier this week as justices heard oral arguments in a challenge to a Tennessee law banning transgender surgeries for minors. As Catholic News Agency reports, speaking at the rally was activist and detransitioner Chloe Cole, who joined a chorus of opponents of what has been labeled as a gender-affirming care issue for children, calling the law a necessary step in protecting young people from what they describe as irreversible medical interventions.
Personally, I feel that when our founding fathers wrote and signed the Constitution, they did not do so expecting that people would use it as a means of excusing the institutional abuses that are happening in our medical systems. Children, it's so clear that children deserve much better than this, that they deserve better than having their puberty stopped, the only process through which they can fully enter adulthood. They deserve better than being put on wrong sex hormones and having their bodies disfigured to try and follow this fantasy that never is going to come true. These children never actually become the opposite sex after the fact. They just lose their health. They lose function in their body. And they lose not only their childhoods, but also potentially major parts of their adulthood in the process.
Cole was joined by Daily Wire host Matt Walsh, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, and other advocates, medical professionals, and concerned parents speaking at a rally organized by the medical nonprofit Do No Harm. Tensions were high at times as a rally organized by a coalition of trans rights activists shared the space outside the Supreme Court. Sarah Lee Kessler tells us there's now a New Jersey connection to that gunman who assassinated the United Healthcare CEO outside of Manhattan Hilton on Wednesday morning.
The New York Post is reporting that the suspect, who's still on the run, produced a fake New Jersey ID to check into a hostel on the Upper West Side. Police have released clear photos. One shows the trigger man smiling before he allegedly shot Brian Thompson to death. This development comes after multiple reports the three bullets used in the murder each carried an ominous one-word message: deny, depose, defend, a possible reference to a 2010 book entitled Delay, Deny, Defend. Why insurance companies don't pay claims and what you can do about it.
Meanwhile, former New York Police Department Chief Terry Monahan thinks fresh images released yesterday, as Sarah Lee Kessler said of the suspect, that show nearly his entire face, will be key in the investigation.
Someone is going to know this person. Someone is going to make that phone call. And this individual will be in cuffs very soon, I'm sure.
And there are also reports the suspect arrived in the city on a Greyhound bus out of Atlanta as early as November 24th. Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield is halting its decision to not cover anesthesia under certain conditions. The insurance company originally announced they would not reimburse anesthesia costs if the surgery went on for what the insurer deemed to be too long. The news sparking outrage across the internet, as well as with doctors of the American Society of Anesthesiologists. Blue Cross Blue Shield then announced that they would be halting the policy a day after the shooting of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. And the man who seriously wounded two children, kindergartners, at a small religious school in California before fatally shooting himself had a history of mental illness and had just been released from jail. That according to a local sheriff, Corey Honea. At a news conference yesterday, Honea reading from a statement believed written by the 56-year-old gunman.
I, Lieutenant Glenn Litton of the Alliance, carried out countermeasures in necessitated response to America's involvement in genocide and oppression of Palestinians, along with attacks towards Yemen.
Police say Linton claimed to be acting on behalf of a group called the International Alliance, but so far, investigators have not found any evidence that exists. He gained access to the campus of the Feather River Adventist School in Palermo, northeast of San Francisco, where Wednesday's shooting occurred, by setting up a meeting to talk about enrolling a fictitious grandson. Brian Shook tells us there were some heated moments yesterday in a Capitol Hill hearing looking into the Trump assassination attempts.
An exchange between Texas Republican Congressman Pat Fallon and acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe erupted into a screaming match.
I'm an elected member of Congress, and I'm asking you a serious question, and you are playing
politics. I am a public servant who has served this nation, and
you won't answer the question.
Fallon ripped into the agency's failures. He showed a photo of Trump's visit to New York marking the anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks. There were no Secret Service agents at his side, but the acting director was in the frame.
Perry Williams tells us only days after President Biden pardoned his son, Hunter, the Reverend Jesse Jackson is now requesting a similar effort.
Reverend Jackson sent a letter to the president asking that he pardon his son, former Illinois Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., and his ex-daughter-in-law, former Chicago alderwoman Sandy Jackson. Jackson Jr. and Sandy Jackson pleaded guilty in 2013 to using $750,000 in campaign funds for personal expenses. Both served prison sentences. The Jacksons divorced in 2018.
And the monthly jobs report showing payrolls increased more than expected in November. The Labor Department reporting 227,000 jobs created last month compared to October's upwardly revised 36,000. The unemployment rate edged higher to 4.2% as expected. Analysts noting the rebound follows a significant labor strike and violent storms in the southeast the previous month. Doug Keck joins us at the look at programming coming up the next week. You don't want to miss that. It's our Inside Word. We'll be right back on a Friday, the Feast of St. Nicholas. Stay tuned. Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
My dear brothers and sisters, I'm Bishop Gerald Vinke of the Diocese of Salina in Kansas. This year, you can create a Christmas miracle for a child growing up in the extreme poverty of a developing country. By donating to Send a Box of Joy, you will surprise a child with what could be the first Christmas gift of his or her life. You can bless a child today by donating at boxofjoy.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA. or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Always a great way to start out a Friday morning with Doug Keck, our Chief Operating Officer and President of the network, and great to catch up with him on all that is going on in EWTN land. And here we are, Doug. I know we say this, it's just because we're getting older so quickly, but I think we're aging well. That's just my personal opinion. Here we are in the wrapping up the first week of Advent already. My goodness. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
It's true. Well, but rapidly, at least in my thought. I hope on the well side, definitely on the rapidly side. And yeah, like you said, it's already Friday here. We're already in the first week of December, first week of Advent, almost over. We've got, you know, so many great events coming up because tomorrow on Saturday, we're going to be bringing you the Holy Mass from Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris,
Ooh.
The inaugural Mass with their consecration of the main altar with the Archbishop of Paris there. And of course, very interesting sidebar that the President of France invited Donald Trump to come as well as President-elect, and he's agreed to go. So you look for that live at 4:30 a.m. Eastern time, encoring at 9 p.m. Eastern for those of us who don't get up early enough to catch it live. We've also got we've got the Ordinary Public Consistory for the Creation of New Cardinals happening on Saturday as well at 10 a.m. Eastern time, and then, of course, the next day at 3:30 a.m., but then we'll repeat at 7, there'll be the Holy Mass with the new cardinals as well. So that's happening out of Rome. And then we've got Our Lady Candlelight Procession for the Feature of Immaculate Conception happening on the 7th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, obviously as a vigil before the 8th. And a special new program near and dear to your heart, St. Padre Pio of Petrolicina, Man of Hope and Healing. It's all new. Docudrama movie that we've worked on and created, co-production, and we're very proud of it. It will be premiering at 8 p.m. Eastern time as well, and that will be on Saturday night the 7th. And then we roll into, obviously, the 8th, which is Our Lady's feast day, at least in the International Church. So we got programming related to that. We've got a celebration from the Shrine of Lourdes, a Mass that we will be airing at 12 p.m. Eastern time. Originally, it will be on live at 4 a.m. And then in Rome, there's the homage to the Immaculate Conception that the Holy Father does as well, and we'll be airing that on a tape delay, originally from 10 a.m. Eastern time, but we'll also be running that at 2 p.m. in case you missed the earlier version. And next week, we've got Mysteries of the Rosary. It's a new mini-series. We've got the classic Father Benedict Grischel on the 9th, of course, because in the United States, with the Advent, Our Lady's feast day moves to Monday. And we've also got the Shrine in Washington, the Basilica, on Monday having a Mass regarding Our Lady. So that's happening also on December 9th at 3 p.m. And then we've got more programming you can look at later in the week related to Our Lady of Guadalupe, starting as early as on Tuesday with a new special called Sacred Stories, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then next week, as well, on our Guadalupe Day, having to do with on December 12th, is the Witness to Providence, the annual Mother Angelica Award. Tune in and see who gets that award this year. And go to
EWTN.com. Can you, inquiry minds want to know, can you give us a little hint on that?
Inquiry, it's not me and it's not you. That I will give you those two.
Darn!
Outside of that, nothing.
Oh, nothing. Well, like, remember when Connie Chung said, just between you and me, we're old enough to remember that little interesting comment.
Yes, that's right.
Well, tell us about that award, though, if people aren't familiar with it. A little bit more background on it.
Yeah, sure. It's an award that was developed here at EWTN a few years ago. Witness of Providence, the annual Mother Angelica Award, Michael Warsaw was behind it, and some of the original people who got it were Archbishop Shepu and Coach Danny Abramo. It's really designed to award somebody who really is an example and exemplifies mother's love for Jesus and the new evangelization. And, of course, in the two people who were named prior to it, they were really people who were intrinsic to EWTN. Danny obviously was on the board for many years. People may not have known that, but he was and had been involved for a long, long time. And then, of course, crossing the goal, and then Archbishop Shepu had been, I believe, up until his retirement, the longest-serving member of our board. So both of those were people who not only lived out the evangelization in their ministries, but obviously were an important part of the growth of EWTN. And so we've, you know, basically it's a decision based on who's out there really doing top-notch work believes to be honored. And I think the person or people being named this year are right there.
No, but I'm not going to be able to get anything out of you, huh? Unless here's me, the investigative reporter. But okay, well, we'll let people be surprised. But this is very exciting. I think it's very, very important. And if you look back on all the work that has been done, I mean, even I was telling you before we went on the air about your wonderful crew in Rome and working with them, and you're mentioning all the different things that you do, and much of it, because of the time of year, is based over in the Eternal City and the hard work that goes into it. But the vision, the amazing vision that Mother Angelica had and was able to, I mean, I talked about her in one of my segments as I'm doing an online series on the book that, thanks be to God, you're publishing, my Italy book, and I was in Assisi 2 weeks ago, and I was standing in front of St. Clair, and I was talking about the poor Clares, and I was talking about Mother Angelica, and it just kind of hit me, Doug, being there, what she did and how she persevered, and I think she would be so proud of the people receiving these awards.
Absolutely, and you know, Mother wasn't into awards herself. She was always, as she said, "I'm just a donkey pulling the cart," and that's one of the great, I think, things for all of us to remember while we're doing this, and we're so proud of our work, and we realize the only reason we can do it is because of the people who support us, and because the Holy Spirit's giving us some good ideas, hopefully on a regular basis, which we like to claim for our own, you know, but. Yeah, I think she'd be proud of any effort anyone makes to live a better Christian Catholic life and to reach out and help those who are less able to do that, especially through the media, which she was so able to do, and the global reach of the network and the multiple platforms and the ever expanding, you know, with more things happening on the web for EWTN coming. You know, some people have heard a little bit about it, the next concept, and more of that will be rolling out next year, and so the EWTN will really be on the cutting edge technologically as well, you know, of bringing the gospel message to as true as it ever was, but in all different ways. Already it's available, you know, on the Internet in all different formats and through all different applications, and sometimes it's one of the best-kept secrets out there, and hopefully we'll make it better known.
Well, I think you're already there in many ways because of all the podcasts that are available to people.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And we've got Podcast Central as well, you know, on our website, and our on-demand platforms ever-growing, and our million subs on our YouTube channel. So all of those are there, and we're looking at other ways to make them even better and more applicable and easier to use with our apps. You know, on mobile devices as well, and really to create a home environment where one can partake of all of the great mysteries of the church, you know, their own media room, if not from their living room these days, but maybe from the media room or wherever they happen to have an Internet connection, you'll be able to get the information of the gospel. And, you know, Mother really was, and, you know, we salute the other apostolates out there doing wonderful work with prayers and other things like that. But really, you know, you got to go back and say, really, who was the person who was the forerunner of all of that stuff? And it really was Mother Angelica and her vision, you know, to reach out to people with those devotionals, especially in a time when many devotionals were kind of being put in the closet.
Yeah, there's so much there, and I even think, and this hit me when I was taping with your crew from Rome for the online series, on the Learn series we're doing for the new book on Italy, that it would be cool, maybe you've done this, or maybe, I don't know, maybe you already have, and I missed it, but to do a day in the life of, and do your different bureaus, like just hang out with the men and women in the Rome Bureau, because I don't think people realize the amount of events that they have to cover and how they juggle everything, and not only in the internal city, but in other areas of Italy, or maybe one of your other offices in Europe, or maybe the Washington Bureau. I don't know. I just think, and then, you know, take it back to Mother Angelica and the message that she heard to start the network.
And all the different affiliates we have, the international affiliates we have in Germany and the UK and Hungary and Romania and all different, in the Philippines, and et cetera. And again, in that way, it's kind of how I allude to the idea of the best-kept secret. There's lots of that, as you're indicating yourself, of people not being aware at the level of what is available, but also, to some degree, the effort it takes and the people it takes to be able to provide that. And you've got the offices in Rome, you know, the Catholic News Agency and ASI Prensa and the other ASI agencies, mm-hmm. and the multiple languages the things are being done in, and in German, and obviously we do Aramaic, you know, Arab, you know, not Aramaic, but Arab, mm-hmm. Newswire, you know, one in French coming out of Africa, an English one coming out of Africa, all of these things, all to keep people informed in the faith of what's really going on, because as much as we have media collusion we've had to deal with over the number of years, we have a relatively free press, certainly compared to most of the world.
Yeah. Well, thank you for letting us be a part of that. So appreciate it. We appreciate our partnership at Ave Maria Radio with EWTN. Doug Keck, of course, our president and chief operating officer. The inside word that he joins us for every Friday. More Catholic Connection coming your way. We'll be right back.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for those who have diabetes. Almighty God, we worship you, our Father. And we pray this day for those who suffer with diabetes. Look upon your children with this illness and grant them relief. Give them patience and the grace of perseverance in taking care of their health. Show them the way to physical and spiritual well-being. Let their cry come to your ears and bring them healing in mind and body and soul. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. The first thing is to be with the Master, and the Master is Jesus.
Minutes past the hour. Welcome back. It is Catholic Connection on a Friday morning, co-produced by Ave Maria Radio out of southeastern Michigan and EWTN out of Irondale, Alabama. You can find us both online at AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com. Well, Wednesday, as you heard in the news, and as you may have seen that excellent report that was at Catholic News Agency, which we quoted in the news this morning, there was a very important event taking place at the Supreme Court where they were taking up this law regarding this ban on so-called transgender surgeries for minors, puberty blockers, the whole bit. And the governor there gave a statement and many other people. And then outside the Supreme Court, there was a rally that was held. On one side were people with trans rights statements. They were activists for people pursuing so-called gender-affirming care, which is not gender-affirming care. It's mutilization of healthy bodies. And it's basically, as Father Mitch Pacwa said yesterday, killing people. They were there along with many concerned Christians and other people who are very, very worried about what this is doing to young people. Now, Chloe Cole was there. We used a clip of hers in the news. We'll share that again with you for a minute. But there's an interesting piece of some interviews that were done with people who were for the so-called trans rights. So this was a piece that was done by our friends at Newsbusters, which is a division of the Conservative Media Research Center. And they're asking the questions that the legacy media do not ask when it comes to this issue. We'll play that for you in just a minute, but I want you to think about this, and I know you have. So if someone went out there publicly and said, we need to make sure that children should be allowed to smoke cigarettes and marijuana and to drink alcohol, no matter how young they are, because if this is what they're feeling, if this is what they're feeling, then we need to acknowledge that because it's part of their identity and who they are, because they say they really need it. Or perhaps if a child said to his mother or father, or her mother and father, I refuse to eat anything but sweets. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and that's all I want, because that's who I am and that's what I need. Now, rightfully so, people would be up in arms, and there would probably be investigations by social services because they were harming children. And yet when it comes to something even more serious in terms of mutilating their bodies and putting them on these very dangerous hormones, which we now know based on a study that was done and other studies that were done, but most recently there was a study where $10 million of our tax dollars were used for this study to find out if these so-called puberty blockers are helping people with who claim that they're identifying differently than their biological selves. Well, you know what that study found out and why it was suppressed? And even the New York Times at least did report this, because it came out, as Chloe Cole was saying, they're not solving the problem. They're making a bad situation even worse. But what I want you to listen to, and this is where, again, the legacy media, any halfway decent reporter worth his or her weight in salt, as the saying goes, should be asking these basic questions. How can you say it's okay for a six-year-old without parental consent to make these decisions? And tell me what surgery is. What type of surgery? Listen to the way they maneuver around the answer. They don't answer the question. They either don't answer it, or they get annoyed and they just say, I'm not talking to you anymore. But they cannot give specific answers to these very basic questions. Take a listen.
How young do you believe that a child should be able to surgically transition their gender?
Surgically transition their gender when they're ready to.
6 years old.
When they're ready to.
Well, it's a lot more here to deal with than surgery.
How young do you believe a child should receive what you're saying is gender-affirming care?
I think a large thing when we ask questions like that we have to remember is that queerness does not have a specific age, right? Transgenderness does not have a specific age. It is up to the child.
So if a six-year-old says they're a boy even though they were born a girl, and the parents think they're the opposite gender that they were born with, they should be able to medically transition, get medical procedures to transition their gender.
I think anyone who needs medical care and there is available safe medical care gets to make that decision for themselves.
I think it's when their family, their doctors, and they feel ready.
And that includes 6 years old.
It's when their medical professional and their family and their psychiatrists, their physicians feel they're ready.
At the earliest age that they're able to express who they are and consent to treatment is as young as it needs to be.
These terms need to be defined, otherwise the right side just uses these terms broadly to demonize us. So asking questions like that is kind of a bad faith start.
How is surgery not medical?
You got to learn these terms. Surgery is it's a stage. It's different.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit and explain some of these terms?
I'm not interested.
Surgery is not what we're... That's a very narrow point of what...
Okay, any medical procedure altering someone's gender.
Well, I think I'm done here.
So the lawyer actually defending, protesting the Tennessee law right now, he says that children know if they're transgender by 2 years old.
And these are young people who may have known since they were 2 years old exactly who they are.
Would you agree with that? And would you say they should receive...
Yes, I would agree that they know who they are, yes.
At any age?
At any age, yes.
I think it's certainly possible, yeah.
And in that case, they should receive medical transition surgeries and or prescription drugs.
at a time when they feel like they're ready with the support of parents and a doctor, yeah.
That is up to the child. That is up to that individual who knows their own identity, right? We need to put that power back into the child.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's insanity. 2 years old, 6 years old, a two-year-old. A two-year-old can make a decision. A six-year-old, oh, as long as the parents and the medical experts. Well, these medical experts have been shown to be liars, pushing agendas and making a ton of money. Come on. But these are the types of questions that the secular media should be asking, and they are not. And notice how what the response, I'm done here, I don't want to talk about it. Well, it's not just surgery. What do you mean? That's what they're in court for. It's about a ban on surgeries for minors, transgender surgery for minors. They are in court for that. That's why you showed up for the protest. It is so ridiculous. And children are being victimized. We don't have the time to play that bite again from Chloe Cole, but I would encourage you to do some research on this and to share this with people and to ask questions, as that young woman did for Newsbusters. Well, so you think a two-year-old? A two-year-old. As I mentioned in the beginning of this segment on Friday morning, December 6th, if there were parents going around claiming that I am going to let my children stay up all night, I'm going to let my two-year-old or my six-year-old do whatever they want in terms of they know who they are and they know what they like, we have to return the power back to them at two, at six. Are you kidding me? It is just so off the charts, and the media, for the most part, have just not only accepted it, but pushed this narrative and have adopted the terms just like they did with the abortion industry. Reproductive rights, a woman's choice. Unbelievable. It's ridiculous, it's sinful, it's dangerous, and it needs to stop. And the legacy media should be asking those questions, and they're not. Fact Check Friday on December 6th. We'll be right back.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What do we mean by intercessory prayer? The Catholic Catechism defines intercessory prayer as asking on behalf of another. It is a prayer attuned to God's mercy. It is a prayer of petition that leads us to pray as Jesus did. Jesus is the one intercessor with the Father on behalf of all mankind, especially sinners, because, says the Catechism, Jesus is able for all time to save the souls who draw near to God through him. Jesus lives to make intercession for such souls. When one prays intercessory prayer, he or she is looking out not just for one's own interest, but for the interest of others, even for one's enemies. The intercession of Christians recognizes no boundaries, says the Catechism. Prayers are extended for all men, for kings or for persecutors, and even for the salvation of those who reject the gospel. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
You have 5 seconds. Actually, right now, chatting with Dr. Scott Effelflinger, Associate Professor at the Augustine Institute Graduate School of Theology. He's called in. Great to have him on the program. Scott, happy Advent to you. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Happy Advent to you as well.
Yeah. Well, you guys are always so great at providing such amazing resources. I mean, really, you have so much information and you help us grow in our faith. This is kind of fun. You're inviting Catholics to deepen their roots with Christ this Advent through Rooted, Rediscover the Jesse Tree. So let's start with the Jesse Tree. What is it and where do we get that from?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for those comments about what we provide. We love doing this for Catholics, and we have fun at the same time. And I think that comes out in this program, which is about the Jesse Tree. And the Jesse Tree is a tradition of, it's a devotional practice, really, of working through the story of salvation history, focusing on the major events and figures. And then usually those stories and figures are kind of depicted in a little ornament that you put up on what is called a Jesse Tree. And that can be either the Christmas tree before you decorate it for Christmas. It can be an artsy, craftsy sort of tree. That's what my family uses. We hang it on a wooden tree with some strings going across. And this is a way of entering into the story of salvation and the waiting of God's chosen people as we prepare for Christ's coming at Christmas.
Is it becoming more popular with Catholics, or is it more associated with our Protestant brothers and sisters, do you think?
You know, I've had people ask me that before, and I really don't sort of have statistics on that, but my experience is that I did not grow up with this tradition. It was something that I discovered later on from Catholic friends, and I know a lot of Catholic friends who do it. I also know some Protestant friends who do it. So, you know, I think one of the things that I think is going on is that people are almost rediscovering Advent. I was noticing, you know, you even find Advent calendars for Legos and, you know, all kinds of things. And I feel like there's this sense that this time is different from the time of Christmas. And for Catholics, that basic sense is so helpful. And I think tying into that sense is maybe a little bit of a rediscovery of some of these devotional practices, like the tradition of the Jesse Tree.
It's interesting you say that, because there was a story that came out earlier this week about the Bible sales all through the roof, and people are searching and they're looking and they need structure. And I think that's a great, great thing that we're trying to get back to some of these beautiful traditions. So you have this beautiful program, the Jesse Tree. It's a 25-episode video series program that's available on Forum. So tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, Advent is how the church starts her liturgical year. But it's kind of a funny start in a way, you know, because we come to the end of the liturgical year with Christ the King, and we're sort of, you know, building up. And then all of a sudden the message is wait, you know, because we're waiting for Christ's coming at Christmas. And so we're not very good at waiting generally. And so the idea behind this video series was, you know, what if we kind of give some form and structure, like you were saying, to this period of waiting by following this devotional practice, but also kind of reinterpreting or reapplying it in a way that makes the story of salvation and these figures and events really relevant for Catholics, and particularly kind of young adult and adult Catholics. So that was kind of something that I had lived out in my own family life, doing this devotional practice with my children and with my wife and our whole family there. But I was realizing how fruitful it was for me personally. And so I kind of wanted to sit down and write out some episodes and see what this could look like to share with others. And so that's what you find in these 25 kind of lighthearted, but at the same time, I hope, kind of deep and nourishing episodes that we've put together.
We are talking with Dr. Scott Helfenflinger. I want to make sure I pronounce your name correctly. Helfenflinger, associate professor at the Augustine Institute Graduate School of Theology. Where do we go for more information on this beautiful series, Scott?
Oh, yeah. You can just check it out at formed.org, or we have a handy-dandy kind of email sign-up where you'll get the reflections each day in your inbox, and that's at daily.formed.org/advent, and you can sign up right there. And it's called Rooted, Rediscover the Jesse Tree this Advent.
So it's 25 episodes, and they're each about 7 to 8 minutes long, which is a perfect amount of time. It's not too long, it's not too short, but you can pack a lot of things into 7 to 8 minutes. Take us back to the Old Testament and some of the figures in the history of Jesus, and how this really is a good, like, it's like a mini Bible study almost, I would say.
Yeah, it really is, and it gives it a particular focus. I mean, a lot of Bible studies, you know, sort of like, let's go through the book of Genesis, or let's, you know, check out, well, hopefully it's not Leviticus, because that can be pretty long. But, you know, we check out these individual books, but this is a way of kind of touring the Old Testament with a very sharp focus on Christ coming at Christmas. And so we look at particular figures and how they point to and kind of illuminate who Christ is. And not only that, I mean, one of the most beautiful parts of this tradition is to see that the Jesse tree is actually a family tree. It's the genealogy, the family tree that leads up to Jesus Christ. And so, you know, one
figure or one book that we go through in a reflection that I really, really like is on the book of Ruth. And we take a close look at the figure of Ruth and Boaz and how they fit together so well. But it's not just a simple romance. It's a story of extraordinary virtue in the midst of ordinary life and even kind of suffering. And what we find out as we take a close look is that Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David. And Jesus, when he is born, he is in the line of David. And so when St. Matthew begins his gospel with the genealogy, we find this genealogy working its way through David. And sure enough, there is the figure of Ruth mentioned in this genealogy. So when we work through these different figures in salvation history, it also kind of tees us up to have a deeper appreciation of this genealogy that Matthew gives us leading up to Christ's birth at Christmas, and then also the realization that this genealogy is a family tree, and that family tree is, in fact, our family tree. So there's a lot there, and it's really beautiful to go through the Old Testament in this way.
Sometimes if we hear that gospel, our eyes tend to roll back into our heads, right? Because of all the different names, and you're like, how do you get through all those? But I love the fact that you're telling stories on the people that are in that genealogy, because sometimes we don't pay much attention.
That's right. Yeah, I make a joke about the genealogy in the videos, which is pretty funny, just based on my own experience. And, you know, there are a lot of names there, and sometimes, you know, the priest or the deacon kind of struggles with them. You got to practice beforehand. I mean, it's a real commitment on all sides, you know, when you get to the genealogy.
What do you think the lessons are that we can learn, Scott, from the genealogy of Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of really interesting ones. Maybe just to mention two, the idea of the Jesse tree comes from a prophecy in the book of Isaiah about the stump of Jesse, and from this stump a shoot will spring forth. And this is a way of prefiguring Christ's birth and how after the divided kingdoms and the fall of King David's kingdom, and even the almost disappearance of his line, there's this new life and in an abundant way with Christ. So it's a funny image of a stump that's sort of, you know, shooting forth new life. And so one of the lessons here, this image of the Jesse tree, is that God writes straight with crooked lines. We have this kind of strange-looking tree. It looks hopeless. It's chopped down. It's just a stump. But there's new life. So there's a profound message of hope as we work through the story of salvation, as we reflect on the Jesse tree. Not only that, the tree is an interesting tree in that, I mentioned Ruth a few minutes ago, Ruth is an outsider, a Moabite woman, and she is invited into God's family, into the chosen people of God in a remarkable way. And so this tree of the Jesse tree, it also draws all people into a kind of unity in Christ. And so there's a strong message there, especially for those of us who are not of Jewish heritage, we're Gentiles, but Christ welcomes us into his family with open arms. So, you know, there are messages of love, of hope, of great expectation as we look towards Christ's coming and what he means for us at Christmas.
Well, I think having this available will provide us with some surprises. For example, a lot of people think that the story of Ruth, when we hear that hymn that comes from those scripture verses, wherever you go, I shall go, and your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. A lot of folks have that at their wedding, and they think it's you know, the husband and the wife speaking to each other, but it's actually a daughter-in-law talking to her mother-in-law, which I think is beautiful, though. So beautiful.
It is. It is. And, you know, there's this loyal devotion that Ruth shows towards Naomi, first of all. This is the first in a kind of extraordinary act of love in Ruth. And the story of Ruth shows us that through generous love to another, it brings forth generosity from that other and reciprocated love. And this is how Ruth ends up winning over Boaz. And the book has this beautiful way of describing both of them as, he describes Boaz as a man of valor, a mighty man of valor. And then later on, it'll describe Ruth as a woman of valor, showing that because of their tremendous love and generosity, they are a perfect match. It's a man and a woman of valor brought together in marriage. So it's really beautiful, the generosity that we see there, firstly with Naomi and Ruth. So you're right, it's a beautiful scene.
So do you think, even though obviously this would be for young adults or maybe younger children, it sounds like something that we as adults could embrace as well, this series?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So, you know, I've written it from my own experience. So it is targeting adults who are in the working world, who have families, but then also working down a little bit towards young adults. But as you said, I mean, actually, I watched it with my whole crew, and my oldest child is 14, my youngest is 3. The 3-year-old laughed at some of the funny parts, but, you know, didn't grasp all of it. But my 14-year-old, my 11-year-old, they were definitely tracking. And so it's something that is kind of fun because we did it in a lighthearted way. Advent is a penitential season, but it's meant to also be joyful in its anticipation. So we wanted to have this be kind of lighthearted and fun. And so there's some funny moments there which make the teaching elements more enjoyable, I think. And as we talked about, they're short enough that it's not a huge commitment for a family. So we sat down as a family to watch these, which was a little funny since I was on the screen, but my kids enjoyed it. I learned
supposed to love that, right? But were they making fun of you? Were they making comments
they
and
were.
Stuff? Because I know my grandnieces do when they see me on TV. They make comments and they think it's a hoot, you know?
Yeah, it was amusing.
Yeah, because it's like no big deal to them. It's kind of like, well, what the heck are you doing on TV? Like you're my father, you're my aunt, you're my great aunt, whatever. So it's a very humbling experience. I know when your relatives listen or watch you in the media. So let's talk about how do we get this beautiful series, Scott.
Yeah, if you go to formed.org, it's on the kind of banner there, easy to get to. If your parish doesn't have Formed, or if you're not a member of Formed and don't have access. If you go to daily.formed.org/advent, there'll be an email sign up there. You can get links to it in your email inbox each day as the reflections become available there. So daily.formed.org/advent is where to go.
You are so creative, all of you at the Augustine Institute, the way you present different, you know, ideas and concepts and teachings in the church. How do you get together to decide what you're going to do? Because you're producing such an awful lot of great content every year.
Oh, thank you so much. We try really hard. And the first thing is, yeah, I mean, we take our faith seriously. We try to live it out. We try to be in touch with you know, people on the ground, starting with our own families, like I mentioned. So there's definitely that element. And then, you know, there are a lot of good ideas. There's not a shortage of ideas. But I think for us, the trick is to kind of zero in on the idea that we think speaks to a real need in the church today. And as you said, we try to have it speak in a way that's creative, that's new, that's winsome and appealing, because we, you know, we have the deep conviction that it is a beautiful thing to be Catholic, and the church has so much to offer us in her teaching, in her sacraments, in her traditions and cultures. And so it's really just a joy to be able to do our best to kind of open that up and bring that to others. And this series on Rooted, the Jesse Tree, this is just one effort, you know, to kind of do that.
It began on December 1st, but then you can go back and watch the episodes if you missed any, right?
Exactly. That's right. And they're short enough that, you know, it's not a huge commitment to catch up. And even if you skip some, not the end of the world. So not too late to start.
No. Listen, thank you so much. What a beautiful resource for us. Again, we've been chatting with Dr. Scott Heffelfinger, Associate Professor of the Augustine Institute Graduate School of Theology. Check out their amazing work at the Augustine Institute. Form.org. This one, all about the Jesse Tree, a 25-episode video series available on Formed, the Augustine Institute's amazing on-demand streaming platform. And hey, do me a favor. Tell my friend Dr. Shree I said hello.
I will do that. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
All right. And you have a great Advent and a beautiful Christmas. Thanks, Scott. 53 minutes past the hour. We'll wrap up Catholic Connection in about 2 minutes and send you off to your weekend. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Hello, I'm Marian Kowarski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options, and we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
My dear brothers and sisters, I'm Bishop Gerald Vinke of the Diocese of Salina in Kansas. This year, you can create a Christmas miracle for a child growing up in the extreme poverty of a developing country. By donating to Send a Box of Joy, you will surprise a child with what could be the first Christmas gift of his or her life. You can bless a child today by donating at boxofjoy.org.
Wishing you a blessed weekend as we move into the second week of Advent. Ask for your prayers. Shortly after the show, I'll be heading to Detroit's Metropolitan Airport to fly out to Providence, Rhode Island. I'm speaking at their Catholic Women's Conference tomorrow. Starts at 8:30 with Mass. It's at the Cathedral. Hope you can join us. I know they already have quite a few registered. I think there's 200-plus women already registered. We'd love to see you there, ladies. It's coming up tomorrow, and I'm talking about Mary, the lessons of pondering that we can learn from her, and also Beyond Sunday, becoming a 24/7 Catholic. Have a great weekend. Ciao, ciao. God willing, talk to you on Monday.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.